So how many of you here this morning or listening online remember the Cold War? How many of you lived through much of the Cold War? Yeah, I see even more hands go up. We remember the life experiencing tension between the Warsaw Pact countries and the NATO-led countries, East against West, even had Rocky Balboa fighting bad Russian boxer. Well, there was a literal, sorry.
Ivan Drago.
Thank you, Ewan. See, Ivan Drago, remember that. Well, there was a literal wall and fence separating the East from the West. The Russian or communist-led Warsaw Pact countries against the American NATO-led countries. And that fence, which had dog runs, minefields, guard towers, ran along the East-West German border and the West German-Czechoslovakian at the time border. I know, as is my brother Rob Prudhomme is you this morning, who's a fellow Black Horse trooper, because we patrolled it from 1985 until March 1st, 1990, when the Warsaw Pact disintegrated and the Warsaw Pact disintegrated and the Cold War ended. Now I was privileged to be part of the two heavy armored cavalry regiments that patrolled that East-West German border, the 2nd and the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiments. And they patrolled that border 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. They were the first line of defense against the Russian tank brigades and infantry battalions that were on the other side of the border. We spent almost 8 months of the year on the border, 8 months. Conducting training exercises to prepare ourselves in the event of an attack. Because the Soviets who were on the other side outnumbered us 3-1. Now the cavalry regiments, in my humble opinion, of course I'm biased, were the best trained soldiers in the U.S. Army Europe. And we had to be because we were the tip of the spear. Our mission was simply put, buy enough time for the rest of NATO to get into their GDPs or general defense positions so that they could stop the Soviet hordes, repel them, and push them back. We had to be alert and ready. So as you open your Bible to Mark 13, and we're going to start at verse 33, we're going to look at one of Jesus' short parables that stresses the importance of his followers to be alert and ready when he returns. Let's read it together. We're starting verse 33, Mark 13. Watch out. Stay alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his servants in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay alert. Therefore, stay alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, so that he does not come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, stay alert. Now, many of you have probably read this parable before, and you think, yeah, I get it, Lars. I need to be cognizant of the fact that Jesus is coming back. But are you expecting it, gentlemen? And more important, are you living your life today as if Jesus Christ could return maybe this morning? So I want to challenge each of us to look at this parable a little more closely this morning. Now, God's word tells us to be watchful or alert over 60 times. The writers of Hebrews, for instance, warns us in Hebrews 2:1, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, stay alert, so that we do not drift away from it. The it here is God's word. In Revelation 3, and our table is actually going through Revelations, we're studying Revelations at the moment, Jesus tells the believers in Sardis, who had become lax and lazy, to wake up and to be on their guard spiritually. And Jesus tells us in the parable this morning, wake up. Be on your guard spiritually. Be in a continual state of watchfulness for my return. And it's that continual state of watchfulness that will keep us from becoming caught off guard and overrun by the enemy as we wait for Christ's return. And gentlemen, that lack of spiritual watchfulness can be costly. Because the moment you become complacent and you think you are spiritually safe and secure is when the enemy attacks. But let's face it, guys, no one here, I don't think anyone who's served in the military, I look at Bob Voiles, I know he's been there, I know Colin White, a number of you have served. No one wants to fall asleep on duty, do they, intentionally? But as the days turn into weeks, and the weeks into months, the months into years, and then the years into decades, you're wondering, is God really going to return? And you get lazy, lax. And that's especially true if you're not fit and well-trained. The soldiers of the Black Horse Regiment, the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, again, were in the field 8 months of the year, training and developing habits that would ensure they could be at their general defense positions within 3 hours max from the time they were called. And 1 hour of that 3 hours was travel time to get to the border. And let me tell you guys, when your life expectancy is 30 minutes on the battlefield, and that's what it was for us from the time the bullets started flying, you could better believe that you're highly motivated to do everything in your power to increase those odds. We were highly alert, and we were incredibly fit and well-trained. Now, if being physically fit and well-trained is important to survive on the battlefield here on earth, how much more important do you think it is for us as Christ followers to be spiritually fit? We're commanded to be alert, to be watchful for Christ's return. And listen to what Paul tells his protege Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8. Bodily exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is much more important. So exercise yourself spiritually. So let me ask you, gentlemen, this morning, are you spiritually fit? Do you even know if you are or not? You know, more and more fitness gurus are convinced that nutrition plays as big a role in fitness as the actual training and exercise. Have you ever heard the expression, you are what you eat? Well, I think the same holds true for our spiritual fitness. So what are you eating, men? What is your spiritual manna? What is your spiritual food? What does your spiritual diet look like? I see some of you are smiling. Are you feeding on God's word daily? Are you ensuring that you spend regular time, quality time, in His word? Or are you saying, you know, I watched all three seasons of The Chosen. That's great. But it's not the same thing as getting into the text. Are you spending as much time? And I'm forever looking in the mirror, gentlemen, when I'm telling you this. I was convicted as I was preparing this message. Are you spending as much time looking forward to the time with the one you say you love the most, if you're a Christ follower, in the morning or in the evening, as you are for the next Netflix series or series on Prime, Amazon Prime? Jesus lived, breathed, and ministered from Scripture while He was here on earth. And He took time away regularly to pray early in the morning, late at night, to be alone with His Father. Jesus was spiritually fit and alert while on earth. So what does your spiritual diet look like? And perhaps you suffer from a spiritual eating disorder. You know, according to Dr. Steve Farrar, many Christian men suffer from spiritual anorexia or spiritual bulimia. Now, both of those conditions are horrible eating conditions. When a person is anorexic, they develop an aversion to food. They literally starve themselves to death. This aversion to food results in them not getting enough nutrients in their body, so they literally waste away. Now, how many men do each of you know, professing Christ followers, who say they love Jesus Christ with all their heart, their mind, and their strength, who spend no time in the text, who don't know His Word? These are spiritually anorexic men. How can a Christ follower who is spiritually starving and malnourished be alert and vigilant, waiting for Christ's return, much less defend himself against the wiles of the devil and the temptations of the world? That man is a walking casualty. But there are also men who are spiritually bulimic. Bulimia is when you eat, you binge eat, and then you purge by sticking a finger or a feather down your throat, throwing everything up. You're not giving your body enough time to digest the food and extract the nutrients from it. And Dr. Farrar, I love the way he describes spiritual bulimia. Listen to what he says. When a man is a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, he becomes bulimic. So how do you avoid spiritual bulimia? You meditate on His Word. And Ewan Kennedy will tell you one great way to do that is a process called Lectio Divina. It's where you sit and you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal His Word to you. You meditate on His Word. You let it go into your body, into your soul. That's why David says in the Psalms, I will meditate on Your Word day and night. I'm challenged by this, and I remember last week when Raymond was here, and he gave his great message, and he said, unbelievers don't read the Bible, but they read Christians. What are they reading if a Christ follower doesn't know the text? I challenge each of you to find someone at your table who will commit with you to memorize God's Word. Oh, you'll have no greater joy. And you'll be able to recollect God's Word when you need it. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind. The troopers of the 2nd and the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiments, stationed on the old frontier of freedom during the Cold War, gave the West confidence that someone was always alert and ready in the event the Soviets crossed the border. Now, both regiments are actually still in existence today, albeit with a totally different mission. But their regimental slogans and mottos are great reminder of both units' commitment to be ever ready and alert. The 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment's logo or motto is Allons, which is French for let's go. A great reminder that the Black Horse troopers are always ready to go at a moment's notice. And the 2nd ACR also has a French phrase as its regimental motto. It is toujours prêt, which is French for always ready. And when a 2nd ACR trooper would pass by his commanding officer or senior officer, he would salute and he would greet them with, always ready, sir. And that officer would respond in kind with the French equivalent, toujours prêt, always ready. What a beautiful, tangible picture of reminding each other to be always alert and ready. What are we doing, gentlemen, to remind each other and our loved ones that Jesus Christ is returning, and He hopefully will find His people doing His work, alert for His return, expecting His return. And for those of you who are frustrated by how long it's taking, just remember, God takes time, but God doesn't waste time. Gentlemen, it's not a matter of if Jesus Christ will return. It's when will he return, and will he find you and me doing his work, expectantly waiting for his return. Let's pray. Lord, as the psalmist prayed, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Holy Spirit, gird us, remind us to be awake and expectantly awake, doing our Lord and Savior's work, looking for his return. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.